Let's get off the bench and back to the show. The Florida Panthers 2021-2022 season preview show. Panthers hockey plays here. AM 560, FM 99.9, HD2 The Joe, WQAM, and streaming on the Odyssey app.
One of the great traditions in sports, the Florida Panthers annual preseason special right here on 560 The Joe. Doug Plagans, Katie Gause, taking you up until about 8 o'clock here in the East. We'll be joined by Sean Rourke from NHL.com coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. Jameson Olive from FloridaPanthers.com is going to be coming up a little bit later on in the program. We'll have a conversation with Panthers general manager Bill Zito coming up in just a few moments as well. So lots to get to, lots of reasons for you to keep it locked right here as we take you up until about 8 o'clock. Panthers and the Pittsburgh Penguins tomorrow night at FLA Live Arena, season opener for the Florida Panthers. Again, 7 o'clock tomorrow, FloridaPanthers.com, Ticketmaster.com for tickets. But let's head out to the guest line right now where we have a special guest on board, one of my favorite associates from the press to be associated with. From the Associated Press, he's my friend and yours, Tim Reynolds. Tim, how are you tonight? Thanks for joining the show. And I know that we talk about great traditions. We can't start a Florida Panthers season until we get your two cents right here on the preseason special. So thanks for stopping by as always.
You know, as always, after that intro, and we're out of time. We're out of time. Your intros are so heartfelt and effusive, and I fear as though it takes up the entire segment. But I can't thank you enough, my friend.
Well, we appreciate you stopping by here, Tim, and I know it sounds like a general statement to say that we are excited to see this Florida Panthers team hit the ice in just about 24 and a half hours' time or so to see them hit the ice officially. But, Tim, when you look at this group, we know what they're capable of. A lot of returning players, a lot of familiar faces, and a lot of confidence with this group. What makes you so excited to see this team start their season tomorrow night?
Well, I mean, the biggest thing is, well, two things. You say the biggest thing about tomorrow night. I'm excited to see more than 9,300 people in the building again. We've waited a long time for, we love excitement in this market. We just do. Like, we run on excitement. We run on hope here in Miami. Our football teams right now are struggling. The Heat are going to be really good. The Marlins we know are going to be good soon, but they're not today. The Panthers give us great hope right now. And I thought those crowds last year, like 9,000 for the playoffs and whatever it was during the regular season, 4,800, 5,000, whatever they could allow in, gave the Panthers such a lift. I am so excited to see what we've been hearing for months, what you've been hearing, Dougie, what Katie's been hearing, what Coop, everybody's been hearing. Everybody wants to talk about the Florida Panthers. I can't wait to see how that manifests itself in a crowd. So that's the first thing I'm excited about, is what that building is going to be like tomorrow night and on Saturday for the first weekend game of the year. The other thing is, point to me what the hole is on this team. Point to me what the deficiency is. Even good teams have, but this isn't so good. When you look at the Panthers right now, even critically, like we're paid to do, what isn't really good or what shouldn't be really good about this team? I love the way it's constructed. I do think Bob is going to be closer to Bob again. And if not, Spencer Knight, we know who he is. He's there waiting. You've got the Barkov deal done. There's great energy in the room. They love playing for Q. Q has been exuding a very quiet confidence the last 3 weeks, like he knows something. I just, what isn't there to like right now about Panther hockey?
And Tim, I know you've already been planning the parade for a little while now. We talk about this every time I see you up in the press box.
It will be a boat parade. It will not be a parade at Sawgrass. It will be a boat parade.
I love it. But when you look through the roster, you know, and there's obviously some new faces, but ultimately a lot of, you know, returning faces and getting the opportunity now to have guys, you know, building that chemistry and coming back. What stands out to you as, you know, that special, you know, whether it be a player or a line or just someone in particular, something in particular that you're really, you know, just, you know, excited about that you feel is just going to put this team over the top?
Well, It's such an easy answer, Katie, but to me, it's Alexander Barkov. And here's why. And I teased Dougie with this last week. I said I was going to come on and say something. This is what I was going to say. Barkov knew, like, getting him for $80 million in over 8 years, it's the largest total sum contract in Panthers history. Like, it's not an insignificant amount of money by any stretch. Two things I can say about that. One, Barkey's camp, his agents did a beautiful job with this. They kept Barkey in the loop. They did the talking. Barkey worried about the hockey, as you would expect. They knew what the market would have been for him next summer. If he had said, you know what, I gave the Florida Panthers 9 years. I've loved it here. But the second half of my career, maybe I want to go somewhere else. Maybe I want to go see how the other half lives. They knew what the market was going to be. And it was way over $80 million. It was way over $10 million a season. So that's number one. Number two, the Panthers were willing to go higher. And then it became, okay, how do you fit other guys in other summers? How do you do this and that? They were going, I mean, I don't know what the number would have been, but this is just the $80 million number. While enormous and certainly be very fair, it's a win-win for everybody. Mm-hmm. It gives Barkey, you know, wealth, generational wealth for the Barkov family. So that's all taken care of for the rest of his life. It gives the Panthers and Bill Zito great flexibility next summer when it's time to talk to Jonathan Huberdeau about his next deal.
Exactly.
About what you want to add, about, you know, the little pieces that are going to come here. There's going to be, I think the way this team is built, you're going to see more of the Joe Thornton syndrome, as if a syndrome could be a good thing, where vets are going to be like, I want to go there. I'll take $2 million and go there. I'll take $1 million and go there. I think you're going to see that kind of interest going forward for a long time because of this young core and because Barkey didn't put his foot down and say, I want every dollar I can get. That gives the Panthers that sort of flexibility to go out and take care of the big things like a Jonathan Huberdeau next summer and take care of some little opportunities that are going to come their way in the next couple of years as well.
Tim Reynolds from the Associated Press covers everything under the sun, and always great to get his thoughts going into a Panthers season. And talking about Alexander Barkov there, Tim, we have discussed this topic, I feel like, on this very program, around this time of the year, you know, usually at different times of the year as well, really over the course of the time that I've known you, but Alexander Barkov here in a market in South Florida where a lot of people gravitate toward the big stars. And as far as I'm concerned, he's the best pro athlete down here in South Florida. I know there are a lot of very good ones, but he's the best athlete down here in this market. Do you sense, Tim, that he is getting that kind of credit, that kind of recognition, that kind of buzz around the region here?
I do get that. I mean, I think it's sort of, it's him or Bam, right?
Got to be.
I mean,
yep.
What a nice problem to have. What a nice problem for Bam Adebayo and Alexander Barkov to have, to be mentioned in that sort of sentence around one another. I do think he's getting his just due because, you know, I know they didn't win a series, and I am so tired of writing it. I am so tired of writing they haven't won a series since 96. I know. I said, Dougie, we said it last year on the playoff preview show, that I really thought the winner of the Lightning-Panther series was going to win the Stanley Cup. I think they were it's so easy to say they were the two best teams in hockey because it was such a strange year and you didn't play teams from other divisions, and I get all that. I understand that. But the facts are this. They had, I think, the fifth best record in the league last year. Again, it wasn't apples to apples. Who in the playoffs gave the Lightning any problem other than the Panthers? Nobody. Like, nobody did. The Panthers were by far Tampa's toughest opponent. So because you know they're good, even without winning a series, you know they're good, that's what allows Barkey to get his spoils finally. Like, if you put up Alexander Barkov numbers and you miss the playoffs yet again, no one here is going to believe that this kid was as good as a lot of us have been saying he is for the last few years. Now that they're winning, he's getting that recognition. He is getting his just due. I do think he's in. I mean, I know Jimmy Butler is great and Kyle Lowry is great. And, you know, Sandy Alcantara is, I get it. You know, the Jalen Waddle, Tua, they all could be that guy. But to me, the only two guys right now who, if you're bringing a new team to South Florida and you get to pluck away some superstar and say, I'm starting a franchise with this guy, the only two candidates are Bam and Sasha. That's it. And you know, I look at, you know, Bam won Olympic gold, you know, in Tokyo. Sasha's going to be with me in Beijing. Even though I won't be covering hockey, I'll be at those Olympics. Sasha's going to be there. I think we are finally seeing him on the Miami Mount Rushmore of at least, you know, the current version of it. And, you know, as far as 27, 28 years, whatever it's been of Panther history now, I mean, Beezer, Mellenby, just because of the rat, if nothing else, you know, Pavel and Sasha, pretty much, right? I mean, it's been a while since the Panthers had a guy in this conversation. Barkey's there, and he deserves to be.
And, Tim, you mentioned it in the opening there that, you know, one of the parts of the season that's been exciting is just sort of that quiet confidence that Coach Joel Quenneville has. And I completely agree with you in the way you said it, that he just, it seems like he knows something, like he's keeping this secret and he can't, you know, he can't help but just smirk about it, you know, every so often. And I think, you know, one of the things that sticks out as a reason that he has to be, you know, smirking internally and smiling is Aaron Ekblad coming back to this team and just knowing what it takes to take that next step in the playoffs and just what it takes to be the team that he knows they can be. What kind of a, you know, expectation, you know, do you have for this season in terms of this Panthers defense really maybe taking that next step and Aaron Ekblad sort of leading that charge and really coming into what could be his best year and picking up where he left off and really, you know, potentially making that ultimate push for the Norris?
See, I think, I mean, the Norris to me, like, Katie, I agree with you that he should be in the conversation, but to me that stuff is so subjective. Like, if there's a defenseman somewhere who puts up 60 points, all of a sudden, he's going to be the Norris front runner. Like, Aaron Ekblad isn't going to have 60 points. Like, it's just not the way they do it, you know? But I have always thought, and I'll be, we'll figure out if there's anything to this here in the next couple of months. I mean, I think we can all agree that last season, before he got hurt, Aaron Ekblad, if he wasn't playing his best hockey, he was playing pretty close to it. I think we can all agree on that. Mm-hmm. I have always thought that when someone in their prime loses a significant chunk of time and has to watch the game a different way, has to watch it from his couch for 3 months or whatever was left in the season, especially those six playoff games, mm-hmm. I can't help but think that Aaron Ekblad got better in those 3 months or whatever it was. Because you have to watch the game differently, and you think about the game differently. You don't think about the game the way a player does. You start to see it from a coach perspective or a GM perspective. You see it from another prism. And whenever you look at, and whenever you take into account, no matter what we're talking about, whenever you take into account a different way of thinking, or how could I do this differently? I'm really good at this. How can I do this better? It can't help but make you a better at whatever you are, whether it's a sports writer or a radio personality. Well, certainly not a sports writer. Let's take that one off the table. But a radio personality or a defenseman for a team that wants to win the Stanley Cup. I really think Aaron Ekblad's time away is going to make him a better player. And that has nothing to do with watching your team play the Lightning in the playoffs and wanting so desperately to know what that tastes like. That's just motivation. That's there. That's intrinsic. Like that's going to be there. I think he got smarter. I will bet anything that watching the game the way he had to makes him smarter. A smarter Aaron Ekblad is an even better Aaron Ekblad, and a better Aaron Ekblad over what we saw last year. Ooh boy, I can't wait to see how that manifests itself.
Yeah, I know. We can't wait to see him get on the ice here very soon. And tomorrow night, that's the night. Season opens, Panthers and the Penguins, tomorrow at 7. And I know we're excited as well to see a man by the name of Tim Reynolds out here at the arena very soon as well. Tim, thanks very much for stopping by, as always. As I said, it's one of our traditions. We can't start a Panthers season without getting your thoughts on the season preview extravaganza, spectacular, special program, whatever we want to call it. Tim, thanks very much for stopping by, as always. You can find it by Tim Reynolds on Twitter from the Associated Press. Tim, thanks again.
Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me. I'll see you tomorrow night.
Sounds great. We'll see you soon. That's Tim Reynolds from the Associated Press. One of our favorites. One of our favorites in not only the media landscape, just a guy. He's a walking, South Florida sports encyclopedia. If you want to get a perspective on something, just a great guy to chat with, and always one of those guys you look forward to seeing around the arena, around the practice rink, wherever. So always great to have him on the program. We enjoy and appreciate the insight, and look forward to talking to him again very soon. He's Tim Reynolds from the Associated Press. Coming up as we roll along, we're going to get to part one of our conversation with Bill Zito. That's coming up on the other side of the break, and then we'll have part two coming up top of the 7 o'clock hour. Sean Rourke from NHL.com is going to be joining us in the 7:20 neighborhood Eastern time, and then Jameson Olive before the end of the 7 o'clock hour to go at some predictions. We're going to have a few predictions to throw out there, and I'm not going to tell you what they are. We're just going to throw some topics out there. We're going to see what everybody thinks. That's going to be later on in the program. It's the Panthers preseason special right here on 560 The Joe. Doug Plagans, Katie Gaw with you up until 8 o'clock. Danny Garcia, our man at Studio Control. We are inside FLA Live Arena, where, again, the season starts tomorrow for the Panthers, 7 o'clock. Pittsburgh Penguins are in town Saturday at 6. The New York Islanders are here. And how about that October schedule? Here in October alone, we've got the Penguins, we've got the Islanders coming in, Colorado comes in, the Boston Bruins come in. So some big competition coming up right out of the gate. I know everybody's looking forward to that. That game against the Avalanche, you don't want to miss that one, folks. If there's a game here in October, the Avalanche only come in one time. And if
they're bringing a lot of firepower.
Yeah, they're bringing a ton of firepower. That's a team. That's the team that, as far as Vegas is concerned, Vegas has tabbed the Colorado Avalanche as the Stanley Cup favorite going into the year. I know there are a number of other teams, the Panthers one of them, that might have other ideas in that department. But the Avalanche heading into the year, they are the team that Vegas has determined to be the favorite, and they come into FLA Live Arena here in October. It's their only trip in. You don't want to miss that one. It's coming up on the 21st, I believe, so you don't want to miss that game. Go to FloridaPanthers.com. The calendar's there. The schedule's there. All the ticket information is there, and you can check that out. We hope to see you out here at FLA Live Arena early and often throughout the 21-22 campaign. We're going to step aside. We're going to come back. We'll get to part one of our conversation with Panthers general manager Bill Zito. This is coming from the most recent episode of Territory Talk, which actually dropped today, as a matter of fact. And we'll have that coming up in just a few moments. I'm Doug Plagans alongside Katie Gaws. This is the Panthers preseason special right here on 560 The Joe.